Thanks for joining us today on Turbical Trash. Hi, everyone. This is Dave Denton. We're not going to have Zane with us today, but this is a two-part Turbical Trash with Christopher Evans, Chris on the Mat. Zane has been really busy in his job, so he's planning on joining us coming up in August. He'll be in the Logan area where I live, and we're going to get together to do a podcast when he is here, so we'll be live in our studio. But that is going to be happening today with Chris. We're going to talk the Raw reunion. We're also going to talk about something we call, Extreme Rules. I mean, Extreme Rules. That's all coming up. What? You got, what's that, Kevin? You got something to say? Well, go ahead. Kevin Owens from SmackDown.
Cut that intro right now. Cut it. Cut it. I got something to say. Cut it now. You know what? Last week I came out here and I spoke the truth about Dolph Ziggler, but it looks like tonight someone else needs to hear the truth, and that's Shane McMahon. Now I've sat back and tried to be a good guy, a good company guy, and not piss anyone off for too long, and I'm done with that because it doesn't get me anything. So you know what? A while ago, I watched the entire McMahon family come out in this ring and say, hey, right now, from now on, we're going to listen to the fans and give the audience what they want. But the only thing that's happened since then is Shane McMahon has gotten more power, more authority, and more TV time than anyone. And trust me when I say that nobody watching ever wanted that. You know, now we have to sit back every week on every show and listen to Shane McMahon call himself the best in the world. And every time that happens, that makes me sick, makes me want to come out here and smash my head on this stupid table.
Hey. Enough out of you.
Good, you're here.
Hey, enough.
Good. You need to hear this.
Cut his mic.
This is the biggest load of crap I've ever seen. I have been watching WWE.
Cut his mic off. There we go.
Hey, guess what, idiot?
Oh,
there's more than one microphone, and
let's
I'm
go.
Not done. You know what? Every time you call yourself
go, guys.
Well, that is an insult and a slap to the face to every single person in the back in the locker room who breaks their back week in, week out, on TV, on the road, around the world to be WWE superstars. And it makes me sick. It makes me sick. It makes everybody sick. And you know what happens when you call yourself the best in the world? Everybody back there, including me, is thinking Shane McMahon can kiss my ass. Because that ring does not
belong. Cut his mic now. Cut it. Thank you. Oh, is that not working, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm not done.
I would never call myself the best in the world.
But there's 100 people back there
that
have a single claim.
Now.
And you take up TV time from
now.
Apollo Crews, Buddy Murphy, Ali,
this
Liv
isn't
Morgan,
a debate.
Oscar,
get out of here, Kevin.
Kyrison. I've made my
go. Make sure he stays out.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones. We'll grind you into pudding. We'll turn your faces off.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Okay, now on Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to go to North Carolina. One of the hubs of professional wrestling with our very own hub of Turnbuckle Trash, he's Christopher Evans. Hi, Chris.
Oh, it's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. The birds are chirping and the cars are going by. And now we're going to start a wonderful day of talking about professional wrestling.
Yes, now we're going to do kind of a two-parter here today with Chris and I. We recorded something about a week and a half ago, and we were waiting to see if we could get Zane, and his work has just been absolutely crazy over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to give Zane a little bye here, so he's not going to be with us on this particular Turnbuckle Trash. But coming up in August, he's actually going to be coming to Logan, and we're planning on doing something from what we like to call the Stitchin', the studio in my kitchen. Is where we'll be doing it. He calls it the Stitchin'. So that was his own creation. And
I
like that too. Well, Chris, in the second part of Turnbuckle Trash today, we're going to talk a little bit about what I call Extreme Drools, not Extreme Rules, because although it wasn't bad, you know, and I think we'll talk a lot about this during the second portion of the show. I just think when they do an Extreme Rules, every match should have some sort of stipulation, and they had three. So that I'm just going to get that out of the way.
Well, they did. I mean, but, you know, like you said, it's been, what, 3 years now?
They have one or two, you know, they had the mixed tag team, and they they had, what was the other one? I mean, a triple threat for the tag team champion.
Yes.
And it just, I'm just thinking they could do something, and it kind of drives me crazy when they do that. But anyway, there was something interesting. Before we get into the WWE, I wanted to talk a little bit about All Elite Wrestling and how they have now announced what night of the week they're going to be on. And it's going to be on TNT, and it's going to be on Wednesday night starting in October. What do you think about that?
I'm excited. Can't wait to see what their first show is going to be like. Hopefully there are storylines, and we can I'm just wondering what this first – is it going to be MJF or whatever his name is? You know, that boy right there is getting a lot of flack for – but he's one of the best heels in the business right now.
Yeah. And, you know,
he's one of the best.
But the thing is, Chris, everybody is so sensitive anymore about anything that is just slightly politically incorrect, and he's more than slightly, that they just get, I mean, they get all whiny about it, and they can't take a joke and realize what it really is. It's not supposed to be politically correct, and they get whiny about it. I don't like that.
Well, I mean, today there was a tweet. Some guy had tweeted him, go, "My wife just left me. What should I do?" And he says, "Well, I told her I wasn't that interested, but she wouldn't believe me." So, I mean, yeah, MJF is whoever has trained this man to do the to do his wrestling and to do, you know, his shtick. I my hat's off to you. That's perfect. It's good. So I'm expecting wonderful things from AEW. Let's see what the first show will do. What do you expect?
Well, I'm expecting them to push the envelope a little bit, like they have in their pay-per-views. I'm really not expecting them to have a lot of blood, but they might have some. They might have more. Evidently, they're not afraid to do the headshots with the chairs, which the WWE has outlawed. I just think it's going to be interesting to see how the All Elite is going to stack up with what's going to be happening that next Friday night, when it appears that Fox TV is going to start running SmackDown Live. So you're going to have Monday Night Raw, you're going to have Wednesday night with All Elite, and then you're going to have the Friday night with SmackDown Live. I'm excited, to be honest with you.
Well, it's finally that you get a mix of, you know, of wrestling. Usually it's you have Monday Night Raw, then you have Tuesday night SmackDown, and then that's it. Nothing else except for like Ring of Honor or whatever you find them. But now that you're going to have Monday Night Raw, AEW, and then SmackDown, let's see what the ratings do.
And it's going to be spread out a little bit. That's the one thing I like. I never did like watching Monday Night Raw and then the next night trying to catch SmackDown. I liked them being spread out a little bit. Because of the situation I'm in, you know, I think I've talked about it before, and I know I have. Monday Night Raw doesn't start until 9 p.m. on Monday nights here in the Intermountain West, where I'm broadcasting from. Well, I have to get up at 4:15 every morning to go to my job. So I have to record it and watch it later in the same way with SmackDown Live. At least will give me a little bit of a break so I can keep up to date with what's going on. And try to watch NXT, because I love NXT. I'll tell you this right now. It's going to be more wrestling, more chances for people to watch, more people catching on to what professional wrestling really is all about. And hopefully we'll get less of the WWE fans and more of the pro wrestling fans. That's what I want.
Well, I'm hoping that we get more wrestling fans than we get WWE fans. I mean, but the comment section and everything that you go to these days, I mean, you can't tell who's the you can tell who's a WWE fan. You can tell who's a pro wrestling fan in about 5 or 6 seconds by just the words that they use. I'm excited. I can't wait. Maybe this will light a fire under the WWE, but I don't really know. I've got my hopes are high, but I'm not expecting, you know, hit me over the head with a chair. So I don't know. We'll see. Wednesday, October the 2nd, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. That's going to be a very interesting time for everyone. I'm going to be interested in seeing how the ratings are. I think I'm going to try to look what the ratings are on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and see how many WWE fans are going to check out All Elite Wrestling. Will there be a lot? I think there will be quite a few. But will they stick? That's the big question.
It all depends if they push the envelope. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. I saw one on, I think it's Real Wrestling on the Facebook page. I think you're involved with that one too. And the guy talked about, he said Monday Night Raw and then SmackDown, and then he put the All Elite in there. He says, I'm just excited to have more professional wrestling. Dude, yes. You're right. Whoever did that, you are 100% correct. There's going to be good and bad in every company. And you brought up a point just a few minutes ago before we started the podcast about something that you and I totally disagree with. I mean, we're both on the same page on this one. It was Impact Wrestling and their recent Tessa Blanchard and their Sami Callihan match, an intergender match. And I don't like those. I don't like them.
Okay, let me ask you, Devotion, do they do the same thing?
They do have some. Yeah, they'll do something. You know, that's if you're just checking with this, Devotion is an independent out of Salt Lake City, and they are associated with a lot of wrestling in the West. They do some, and some of the wrestlers compete over in Colorado. Some of them go down to Las Vegas and stuff like that. So, yeah, they have done that in the past, and I'm not going to break their heart because it's just my opinion. They're great guys, great ladies. But I don't like the intergender stuff. I just don't like it.
Well, with the way society is these days, and you're seeing all these professional athletes beat the living daylights out of their wives or girlfriends, and you've seen the videos. I'm sorry. I watched maybe 5 minutes. I watched a couple of minutes, not five. I lied there. Total lie. I watched about 2 minutes of it, and I had to turn it off. I couldn't stand it. I mean, yes, it's professional wrestling, but a man is actually somewhat hitting a woman, and I just
I think it takes a very serious subject, and you know, we've talked about this when Lucha Underground was doing a lot of that intergender stuff. It's a very, very serious subject, and I think you and I, I'm not even going to say just growing up in the South, but growing up with great respect for women, that a man should not hit a woman. And I'll take that right back to the other side. A woman should not hit a man either, to be honest with you. But to have violence with a man who physically is stronger than a woman because of the thing called genetics, I think there's different ways to get women involved. And I'll take you back. I think we've talked about this once before. Dusty Rhodes was going against, and I believe it was when Baby Doll was with the Four Horsemen. Remember Baby Doll? And Baby Doll was always poking her nose into a match. And one time, Dusty does a stipulation match, and he gets Baby Doll to be his valet for the day. He made her slop pigs and made her do farm work. And then another match one time I was watching like that where a woman got involved. The man, you know, got a little bit upset, and he almost hit, and then he just turned her over the knee and spanked her. And that's a little much, too, because that, you know, that has some sexual connotation to it.
But
if a man strikes a woman, it has a lot more opportunity to do a lot more damage. And not saying that there aren't dangerous women out there. I mean, there are women out there that know how to handle themselves, and I'm glad for that.
Yes.
But I just, I guess it's the gentleman in me that I just don't appreciate that. And a lot of times I'll fast forward through that kind of thing. I did that a lot with Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground, whenever they do an intergender match, they would always say, these ladies know that, you know, they're going against the men. And it's just all in competition. Well, they'd always have a heel. You know, how can you do a heel in an intergender match if, you know, if it's supposed to be a competition? Well, the man would do something or the woman would do something. It just, I'm sorry, guys, all kidding aside, I think it's dangerous. I think it sets a precedence that I don't like, and I will never be okay with it. Never, never, never. No matter how you explain it, I'm not going to be okay with the man and woman violence. Not going to happen.
Well, I agree 100% with you with that. Plus, the person that she was wrestling, Sami Callihan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a cast of a character, right?
That is. He's good. He's good. He's and he's good. Wild.
But I mean, he did a power bomb on her on the side of the ring, and you saw her reaction to it. Yeah, it has to be that they have to have the impact. But your bones are not as strong as hers. I couldn't take it. I mean, I loved it when she got that baseball bat, but I just can't. I just have to close my eyes and thinking, why TNA? Why are you doing this? Yes, your ratings went up just a little bit, but now you're setting a bad tone.
I think it's a bad precedence. I really do. You got young people watching. You've got people that don't have the same values that you and I do, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not cutting them down by any means, but when you're showing man on woman violence, I don't like it. I know it's real life sometimes because it does happen, but why do we have to glorify it? That's what I'm saying.
Even in Extreme Rules, the man got, what was the other one?
It was Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin grabbed her and then slammed her.
Yeah, did the end of days on her.
Yeah, did the end of days. See, that right there, that's not okay as well. But this was a man versus woman match.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is not. That's not it. Back in the days in the real in Memphis, did they ever have an intergender match? No.
Not that I can remember. I think that they had done some stuff with valets, you know, getting involved and.
Yeah,
and things like that, but
I mean, did the NWA ever did anything like that? Did Georgia Championship Wrestling? No, they never did.
I think it sets a dangerous precedent. Really do.
Yes, it does, and it just needs to go away.
Yeah,
but that's what brings. I guess they think that's what brings in the ratings. It didn't that time with me because I didn't know.
Yeah,
I turned it off.
And then I'm going to be completely politically incorrect here. I am an equal opportunity offender here. I try not to really hurt people's feelings because I don't want to be that guy that does something completely to hurt somebody's feelings. But I've been reading a lot in the news as of late about transgender athletes, athletes competing in track as a woman. Well, their physiology is completely different. It gives them maybe not a huge edge, but it does give them an edge. And when I read about a woman who came in fourth and she needed to come in third to advance to another part of the race or maybe the championship round of this track and field event, it made me ill. I mean, what are we coming to when we can't say there got to be certain rules? Now, if you want to have transgender athletes compete against each other, hey, I'm all for that. Cool. You know, I don't have a problem with that at all. But I have to draw the line someplace. And if somebody, you're upset with me, you just go ahead and get upset with me. Because frankly, you're not going to change my mind. And I am not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just telling you that this is what I believe. And if my beliefs upset you, then you being upset because I believe something different than you, then I am upset with you.
Well, I know you don't want to upset people, and I have a hobby about doing that sometimes, but I can't help myself. you know, if you don't know that you're a woman and you don't know that you're a man, there's something wrong. You need very psychological and a professional wraparound love me jacket and be thrown into a rubber room. Man is man, woman is woman. That's it. I don't care if you feel like you're a woman, but I'm a man trapped in a woman's body, or I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. No, you're not. You're a man. Get over it.
Yeah.
You suck at running, or you suck at weightlifting, or you suck at you're not good at wrestling. Okay, I don't know. This world has gone bananas.
Yeah.
This world has lost it. I don't know. There's so much stuff on TV about transgender this and transgender that. I don't want to hear it no more. Guys, girls, that's all we are. Get over it. Let's continue with life.
And this has nothing to do with your sexuality.
No, it doesn't.
Because I frankly don't care. You know, but I'm saying in competition, there is physiological differences between a man and a woman. Whether that man identifies as a woman, he still has those differences in his body structure. And there's plenty of women out there that can kick my butt in a lot of things. But I'm just saying, in a competition, you got to have rules. And bending the rules so somebody doesn't have their feelings hurt, it causes way too many problems that I think that we as a society need to readjust. So let's kind of drop it at that, because, I mean, that was a little controversial. And once again, if you disagree with us, that's fine. We don't mind you disagreeing with us.
No, not one bit. We love it.
And if you want to disagree with us, be kind. I'm not going to tolerate somebody calling me names. Just, it won't happen. If you're on a Facebook page and want to call me a name, I'll delete you in a heartbeat. If you don't want to follow us, don't follow us. That's the great thing about our lives. We can make decisions and do what we want. I love that. God bless America.
I mean, there you go. Hey, get on that soapbox. Get on that soapbox.
Yay, as friends and neighbors.
Yes. He's getting to the pulpit.
Oh,
everyone,
man. Yeah, some friends. It's the Reverend Dave Denton. Anyway.
You know, that would be a good segment on the podcast. The Reverend has come out of
the Reverend is here. Maybe we'll have to do that. Anyway, Chris, another segment I wanted to talk to you about shortly was Monday Night Raw with their Raw reunion. Go for it. What did you think?
It was good to see the old wrestlers come out. Sergeant Slaughter, Stone Cold Steve Austin. There were all these older wrestlers that the Million Dollar, that was my favorite one.
Oh, that was.
The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. I love that laugh. God, I love that laugh. But it was great. But I'm going to say something that one of the stars on the WWE said. They pushed the new talent to the side, and they pushed the old talent again.
Mm-hmm.
And
was that Sammy?
No, it wasn't Sammy. I can't remember who it was, but I'll have to go back and look again. It wasn't Sammy this time. It was somebody. I think it was Lilo Rush or it was one of them that said it. But I can understand why. I mean, it was a great show. You had Kelly. Whew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you had Jerry Briscoe and Pat Patterson, and the 24/7 title was defended. I don't know how many freaking times.
Pretty funny.
But it was pretty funny. But it was good. The only thing that I just had a problem with is, why do we have to have all these reunion shows all the time? Does it boost the ratings?
Evidently.
I mean, it's great to see Stone Cold Steve Austin come out there and chug down Steve Weiser's, and then you got Hulk Hogan saying brother, 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 and you got
Let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah. Then you got Ric Flair looking like he needs a walker, and he's doing his little woo, and that's it. But okay, that's great. And you had the Boogeyman out there. My gosh, he's still freaking looking.
So,
and you know, Do you know he's going up against Jerry Lawler?
I saw that on one of the shows. Lovely. I think in Jackson, isn't it?
Yes, he is.
In Jackson, Tennessee?
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead with what you were about to say.
Okay. I enjoyed it a lot more than the Raw 1000.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that a couple of years ago? That was a debacle. That was pathetic.
Yes, it was.
At least this time, there were reasons for the old guys, the reunion characters, to be there. And I will agree why they let these legends do something to a younger wrestler that makes them cost them a match. Mm-hmm. And it's pandering to the audience. I understand that. I completely understand that. But every once in a while, you got to let one of the young guys get something in. And I will tell you this. I loved when The Fiend showed up and got on to Mick Foley. I was cheering. I loved every minute of that.
He got that mandible claw, and God bless Mick Foley for letting him do that.
Hallelujah.
But you know what? You know that laugh that they have at the end,
mm-hmm,
of him? Do you know that sounds awfully familiar from a movie?
A movie.
Awfully. A movie. That sounds awfully familiar. That repeated laugh sounds like it comes out of a box. And then I realized where it was. It's out of the first Batman movie of Jack Nicholson, when he lands down and you hear him laughing and they pull that box out. And, that's it. That's him. I'm like, yep, that was it.
Oh.
But I liked it. But you know, I liked it.
But there were people upset that he attacked a living legend like Mick Foley.
Yeah, but Mick Foley knew that was business.
Yeah.
It was business. He had to do it. He wanted to do it. Mick wouldn't have done that unless Vince told him, look, we need to go out there and have the mandible claw put on you.
Oh,
okay, Vince, no problem.
He probably loved every minute of it, knowing Mick, you know? Not that I know him personally, but, you know, his career, following his career.
But you know what? I'll be honest with you. That should have been Bray Wyatt's first introduction. Instead of Finn Balor, that should have been it.
That should have been it. Yeah.
Because now we're used to the lights going, and we know it's fixing to happen.
Uh-huh.
Now, if we'd have had it there on the 1000 show,
on the reunion show,
that would have made people jump.
Yeah.
And then that would have been it.
And the segment with the Million Dollar Man. And I like the way they did Pat Patterson and Jerry Briscoe. I mean, mm-hmm, Pat Patterson never got close to a four pin. He put his foot on top of him, and then he got the belt. You know, then they showed inside the limousine when R-Truth, mm-hmm, comes about. You can tell stories very well by just being creative, and that was creative, and it didn't put these guys that are older, and I'm speaking as a 62-year-old man, you know, didn't put them in harm's way to make them taking a bump, which, you know, they can't do that anymore. So
I still liked it when Alondra Blaze came out with the title and she was going to dump it like she did in WCW.
Right.
And then here comes the music, and then the Million Dollar Man buys the belt.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody had made a comment, are we not going to look over that the Million Dollar Man has held his first championship in the WWE? I love the ending of it where everybody comes to the ring and everyone's having a toast and they're having a great time, and instead of everybody's drinking beer except for Mark Henry, he had a bottle of water.
And I liked
it. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, and you're a beer drinker, right?
Oh, I've had a couple of Steve Weisers before.
Yeah, and I don't drink beer, but
of course.
I think it's good to show.
Great.
Oh yeah, I think it's
good.
And did you know Razor Ramon wasn't allowed into the ring?
I didn't know that.
I think it's because I'm speculating here. I think that possibly because there was going to be beer, you know, kind of spraying everywhere, and maybe they were trying to protect him from all that going on, because he's had the and I'm not cutting down beer drinkers by any means, but there is, mm-hmm, addiction problems when you talk about that. And somebody who gets a taste might say, oh man, you know, I've had problems in the past.
Gotta do it again.
Gotta, mm-hmm, do it again. But I love the fact that Mark Henry was in the ring with bottled water. That's no problem with me. You're still celebrating?
Nope. You're still celebrating.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And I'll tell you this, your very own uncle at his wedding reception years and years ago, I think like 26 years ago now. I'm not a drinker at any means, but he and his wife wanted champagne there, and there was a lot of people that wanted to drink. I raised a glass to them of champagne, and then I drank water.
There you go.
I have no problem with going into a facility where they're serving alcohol. No, it does. You don't have to do it unless you want to, and I choose not to. So there you go.
There you go. That works.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Raw reunion was great, but I don't really think they're going to have another one. This is probably the last Raw reunion they ever have. I really don't think they'll have another Raw.
I think they will. I think they're going to do it once a year.
Well, hopefully. I mean,
or once every 2 years.
Yeah, I hope. Well, I hope they do. I mean, it'll be glad to see some of the old generation come back. And a lot of people are like, well, why can't we see the new generation? Because this is the generation that started it all. It's good to see Sergeant Slaughter. I didn't think he could even get up and walk anymore. I was glad to see old Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
But see, that's what the kids need to say. Some of the kids are looking like, who's this guy?
Right.
We don't know who this guy is.
I did not recognize Alondra Blaze. I went, who is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, she got into MMA a while back, and then she just faded off into the sun, just rode off into the sunset, and I didn't recognize her.
Yeah, she's been driving monster trucks, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
More power to her.
More power to her. Hey, time to her, you know. But, overall, my biggest thing was I enjoyed it. Those who didn't enjoy it, hey, that's your opinion. But I kept on thinking back, this is so much better than the Raw 1000 show, which was awful.
Mm-hmm.
You remember how we were just all over that show on Turnbuckle Trash?
Yes, we were.
Just hated it. So
now, do you think that Paul Heyman's doing a better job with Raw?
It's too early to tell.
Okay.
I think you've seen a little bit of a change so far, and I'm all for that. I'm all for them having better storylines, and I think maybe Paul's influence is there. You know, saying, no, this doesn't make any sense. But I'm also kind of weary, to be honest with you. I'm weary. I mean, Bischoff evidently set in with the SmackDown production meetings this week for the first time, and I have not watched SmackDown as of this the airing of this. But I'm still worried. Will Vince let them do the things that they can do without putting the tightening up the reins too quickly, which he has done a lot.
Yes, he has.
Uh-huh.
I think Paul Heyman's doing a fair job on SmackDown. I really can't tell the difference.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I can't tell the difference with SmackDown right now. I can't tell the difference. I mean, yeah, you got Kofi Kingston out there, and a little trivia, everybody. Has anybody noticed about Kofi Kingston's chest? Has anyone noticed something different about his chest?
No.
That his chest is sunk in?
Oh, I've noticed that, yeah.
You want to know that where that's from?
Where is that from?
That's the Big Show.
Oh, the Big Show.
In 2002 on Raw, the Big Show slapped Kofi Kingston in the chest. And to this day, his chest has never been the same. So if you see this big handprint on Kofi's and his chest is sunk in, that's from the Big Show.
I love it.
He went on a podcast and people were asking him. He goes, that's from Paul White. He goes, it's never been the same after that chop.
Oh, man.
But Kofi, man, I don't know. I see Kofi. He's good at now, but he's a good champion.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's about
a good champion, and it's about, well, it's almost about that time for that strap to come off of him.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not going to be upset if it stays on him, but I think it's about time.
No,
for him.
I won't be upset at all. I'm glad. They're giving him a heck of a run.
Oh, I love it.
But now it's. I like what Randy Orton had said. He goes, I didn't have to shake my butt and throw pancakes and have a fake Jamaican accent to be Randy Orton. And it's funny that way, the way they do things.
And so. I'm going to take you back. Mm-hmm. When I really became a Kofi Kingston fan was when he kind of dropped that accent and he had that feud with Randy Orton years ago.
Oh, yes.
That was one of the best feuds of that year. Kofi Kingston showed that he was a star at that time, as far as I'm concerned. I am a huge Kofi Kingston fan. But I don't like pancakes, though.
No, but you would also like Kofi for two other reasons, too. Number one, he is a comic book fanatic.
Mm-mm.
Loves it. He's got so many graphic novels, and his favorite one is your favorite character in the whole wide world.
Batman?
He is Batman.
All right. Me and Kofi, we're like this. We're tight. Me and Kofi.
Yeah,
we're tight.
Kofi's still trying to get through year one right now of the series. So, it's good. But I don't know, Kofi. I hope you keep the title at SummerSlam. Very doubtful, but we shall see.
Well, like I said, I'm just a Kofi Kingston fan. I always have been. I didn't like when he was doing the gimmick with the accent, but boy, when he dropped that accent in the ring and Triple H called him out on it, kind of a breaking kayfabe. That was funny.
Yes, it was.
So you asked me on this, the second segment of the podcast, and we're going to go ahead and let that run in just a little bit, but you were asking me about AJ Styles and the Good Brothers and the name they were going to call it, which I had never heard of what they were going to call that faction until this last Monday Night Raw. The OC, the Original Club.
Oh, the Original Club.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've always liked he is as a heel. I've always liked him as a heel. I like him as a face. I just think he's one of the real talents that we have seen in the last 20 years, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it all depends on how much longer AJ can last in the WWE. I mean, he is kind of frustrated the way things are going. We've seen the tweets. We've seen the fans talking about it, which everyone's an expert on these wrestling pages. We're not experts. We're just giving our opinion of what we believe. But it's kind of amazing how many Facebook pages, well, we know what's fiction to happen. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
But
I love it when they make these predictions and then nothing like that happens, you know. So
I love every minute of it. I'll just say, well, how did that work for you?
Yeah. There was one of those Facebook pages where a guy was saying that if the WWE hadn't signed Brock Lesnar, that any other group would sign him and he'd be the headliner. And I'm not disagreeing. I said, but I in my opinion, there without Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar is nothing.
No,
and this guy tore me a new one. Mm-hmm. So when I get back on Facebook, I'm going to say part of the professional wrestling profession is to be able to do promos, which Brock has no idea how to cut a promo.
No, even when he was in OVW, even Jim Cornette said the same thing. Mm-hmm. He was the cleaner when Shelton Benjamin, when they were tag team.
Yeah.
Shelton was the high flyer. He was the one that did all the work and he'd get the hot tag, and here comes Brock. And Brock was the finisher.
Yeah.
That's all he was. And then Benjamin was the talker of the whole group. Brock, he couldn't cut a promo if he even had the cue card sitting in front of him. And his voice is – it's not a – you expect a big man like that to have a big growly voice.
And he kind of has a high-pitched voice, yeah.
And he has a high-pitched voice. I mean, that screams Oscar Mayer right there to me. No, I really don't. Yeah, Brock, you're a big son of a gun. You're big, you're bad, but you don't defend your title. You're never on Raw. And more hats off to him and my hair, too.
Uh-huh.
You've got a lot of money. Congratulations, sir. No, you've
take
done
it
a heck of a job.
Take it. And, you know, the thing you just talked about, I don't know if you're aware of this, uh-huh. But who was Brock Lesnar's college roommate at University of Minnesota?
It was Shelton Benjamin.
It was Shelton Benjamin. So that's kind of interesting. They put them as a tag team together.
Well, that's what Jim said. He said these two went up to the NCAA together, And when they both came to OVW, he said, okay, I'm going to create you as a tag team. Shelton, you do all the high flying, and then Brock, you do all the muscle. And that's how it was. And Brock was, he was so green back then. I mean, he didn't know a wrist lock from a wrist watch.
Yeah.
So it just, that's how it is with the team.
Yeah. And that there, and once again, I'm just not a fan of his. And people, I know we have people that listen to our podcast that are fans of Brock Lesnar. Uh-huh. And you know what? I think that's great, to be honest with you. I do. Just to me, he's one-dimensional.
Yes, he
but
is.
But I'm also wondering how much of that is the writing that makes him one-dimensional. Because he is a very talented man, a fantastic mm-hmm. athlete, stronger yes. than strong, mm-hmm. and he can do so much. I mean, NCAA wrestling champion, you know he knows what to do. But there's a little bit of difference between professional wrestling and intercollegiate. I just think he could do more than just a couple of F5s and a couple of German suplexes, and that's what they basically had him doing recently. And to be honest with you, I turn it off. I called him Mr. Boring in the Bank. I call him the Universal Yawning Champion. I don't like his stick in the ring. Nothing personal. It's I don't like his stick.
The only thing that he ever did that I liked was with his thing with The Undertaker and the Hell in the Cell. Oh. I think that was probably the best match when Taker had the broken hand, and then Taker took a shot that put a hole in his head, basically, and he's pouring blood, and Brock is over there just pounding away and takes his hand and wipes his chest with it, and then Taker gets ticked off, and that was the best match I've ever seen Brock ever do.
Yeah.
That was good. But other than that, my Tano PM doesn't put me out like Brock does when I watch a match.
Yeah,
it does. Good Lord.
Yeah. Kind of gets to me every once in a while. But you got to admit, there's a lot of different wrestling products out there. We always talk about the independents.
Yes.
I have not been able to watch professional wrestling from Hollywood as of late because I think the TV station that's ran it locally might have gone out of business, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, so I'll probably have to catch that on the Fight TV network, which they also run professional wrestling from Hollywood, from Arizona. Mm-hmm. And if you'll notice on the All Elite Wrestling, professional Peter Avalon, who's prevalent in both Hollywood and Arizona, has now got the persona as the librarian in All Elite.
Ah.
Yeah. And he's a real talent, too. So there's just a lot of people out there that can do a lot of good things. And I agree with the person on the Real Wrestling Facebook page when they put out, I'm just excited to have more wrestling to watch. And let's get it on and get it going. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, of course. I mean, we're fixing to have a whole bunch here in Charlotte, North Carolina very soon. The NWA MLW is coming here for a fan fest, and the card is so stacked for the popular wrestlers, Bill Dundee, the Midnight Express, Bob Backlund, Sergeant Slaughter. They're all coming to Charlotte to a fan fest, and I am going to do my best next month to get my butt down there. I want to see these guys.
Oh, yeah. And if you get to see Bill Dundee, thank him for us again, so...
That's the first person I'm going to grab and say, okay, by the way, you know the other person you talked to? That was me. How you doing? I just wanted to meet you one time. But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, Bill Dundee, Lawler, everybody's going to be there in Charlotte. And Jim Cornette's going to be there. He's going to be with the Midnight Express. They're going to have some kind of a retirement match for somebody there. I don't know who it's going to be, but Bob Backlund, that's going to be it.
Boy, that's a... That's a name, isn't it? So.
Bob Backlund. I don't know if Nature Boy will be there. He should be. But hopefully I can make it up there. And if I can, I want to get some interviews going with these guys. I'd love to see Ric Flair one time and just talk to him for a few minutes. But from what I understand, getting an autograph from that man's like $300-something.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. So pick and choose, you know.
Oh, yes.
Try to get some pictures. If somebody will talk to you for a minute, and sometimes they have contracts that don't allow them to do interviews, to be honest with you, because I've had that pop up so many times, especially with WWE legends. They have to get it approved through the Titan Sports, and I think that's such a bull. But anyway, I'm excited for you. I want you to go. You put in your vacation time now. You need to be there, my man.
Well, also, I want to see if I can grab a hold of Ricky and Robert Gibb, and the Rock and Roll Express are supposed to be there, and I can't wait to see. If I go, I cannot wait to see these guys. It's going to be amazing. Some of the old wrestling and the old wrestlers are going to be there, and that's what I miss. And it's going to be interesting because Charlotte's supposed to be one heck of a fan fest, and a professional wrestling with the NWA is going to be there as well.
That'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Coming up in just a little
bit. The Briscoes. The Briscoes will be there as well.
I'm excited for you. But coming up next on Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to go back to our podcast that we were supposed to put on, but Zane couldn't join us. And it's going to talk more about extreme rules. And that'll be coming up. Chris, thanks so much for taking time out of your day.
No problem.
And you got to go to Charlotte, man. Come on.
I'm going to do my best to get to Charlotte. And if I can, I'll see what I can do about grabbing some interviews with I know I'm going to grab Bill Dundee one time, but my two favorite ones that I want to hold on, if I can, is the Rock and Roll Express, and I'm going to do my best to get a hold of Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
I will try.
Yes,
such
it will
a
be.
Fan, such a fan.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Turnbuckle Trash goes extreme, but not too extreme, because we're like the WWE. We can't say something is extreme and have it really be extreme, now can we?
We could try, but sometimes we have to put on that little machine that says bleep.
Christopher Evans joins us, Chris, on the mat on Turnbuckle Trash. Chris, we're through Extreme Rules. We're three of the 10 matches actually had stipulations. I say it every year, Extreme Rules, stipulations, every match. Don't you get it?
No, they don't.
It just drives me nuts, man.
You know, I think the WWE has stock in Excedrin headache medicine, or, you know, for ulcers. I don't know what else to say. Extreme Rules was okay, except for the final thing, but it's not like it used to be. We all know this.
Yeah.
But what was your first favorite match?
I'll tell you right now, it was Aleister Black and Cesaro. I thought that was a fun, excellent back and forth. Both of them showed great resiliency and great moves. I thought it was excellent.
That was a match I really didn't expect for them to do. I was wanting Randy Orton, but... Right. I guess he had gotten injured or something. He wasn't able to, but Cesaro can put on one heck of a match. And it was a back and forth one, and I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
That was best match of the night was probably them, yes.
Yeah, Randy Orton had a neck issue, and they wanted to save him for this week because he's appeared on both Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live this week. So they wanted to have a set match, and I guess they – didn't get Randy cleared medically until they had already set the Cesaro and Aleister Black up. So, setting up the storyline anyway. So, I really enjoyed Samoa Joe and Kofi Kingston, but, you know, I enjoyed it. I was just pulling for Joe. I wanted Joe to get that title so bad.
We were all wondering if Joe would ever win, if they were ever going to give him the title. But it's just... Okay, you've given him the U.S. title. That's the only title he's ever held.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't he hold the world? I mean, does Vince doesn't see anything in him, or what am I missing? I mean, he has the total package. He is good on the mic. He's good in the ring. I don't know what it could be. Is it? Do they not want to tick off people and say, well, the only reason you gave it to Samoa Joe is you don't like Kofi? You don't want him to be champion anymore. They put on a heck of a match, and I was really hoping that Samoa Joe would win.
I was hoping Joe would win, but it needed a stipulation. I mean, you're talking extreme rules. Get stipulations in there.
Yep.
You know, whatever. Yeah. Four corners match. You remember the old four corners matches when they'd strap them together?
Yes.
And they would fight in the middle of the ring. And then you had to incapacitate your opponent enough to where you could drag him around the ring and touch each ring corner.
Each turnbuckle, you had to slap it.
Why can't they do something like that anymore?
Because they don't want to do that.
I don't understand.
Because they're on meth. I mean, these people are stupid. I mean, come on. Vince, get your head out of your prostate. Get it over with. It's over. These matches were okay, but good gosh.
Yeah, I would say it was above average pay-per-view. I really enjoyed most of it. There were a couple of things that I went, oh, come on. But but when you're talking, and you watch social media like I do, or you read or hear other podcasts, and just about everybody is saying the same thing. How can you have an Extreme Rules pay-per-view in Philadelphia, of all places, and not have some sort of stipulation in every match?
They don't need to call it Extreme Rules anymore. They just need to call it something else. How about no extremes?
No.
I mean, you were right about that. Let's have stipulations, and you called it perfectly. There wasn't going to be anything. It's the same thing over and over and over again, and they think, okay, well, the WWE fans are just going to sit there and they'll watch whatever we put on. No.
Yeah, it's not happening.
No, because if you ever notice on their little, on Raw and SmackDown now, the crowds are getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
They just don't want to do it anymore. They're tired of the product.
Well, the ratings for SmackDown Live were actually up for the first time in several weeks after Extreme Rules. And I think that's because people enjoy, the Kevin Owens thing. They want to see what Kevin was going to do again. So,
and we've all heard this. Now they're trying to repackage him into the next. And I can see it a little bit. They're trying to bring him in like Stone Cold. But let me ask you this. Do you honestly think it'll work with Kevin? You think it could?
I think it's already working. That promo he did 2 weeks ago on SmackDown was incredible. It was one of the best I've heard in a long time.
Well, now they're letting him cut his own promos. They're not writing them for him.
That's good.
He's doing it himself.
Yeah.
So that tells me they're letting the reins off of him and letting him do this. That's perfect. If that is true, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, but can Shane McMahon hold up to being the next Vince McMahon? That's a big question too, isn't it?
Big time, and I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
Let's face it. Vince McMahon is the greatest evil mind in all of television put together. I mean, the greatest TV performer that you could ever see would be Vince McMahon, because he can be a face, he could be a heel, he could be a father, or he could be a father of Hornswoggle. We don't know these days.
And some people would call him a son of a... Well, you know, that's a different question. But
Vince's not here to do that right now.
Well, you know, the interesting thing when you're talking about that is how Mr. McMahon's character came to be. If you look at the genesis of it, it started with the Montreal Screwjob. And that's where they kind of came up with the idea on how to make Vince more of a heel and the evil management. And then Stone Cold, it was like the perfect storm. But Brett, I mean, you got screwed in Montreal, but it led to some really good storylines in professional wrestling.
That's what basically started Mr. McMahon, was the Montreal Screwjob. And we've gone over this time and time again. Did everybody know it was a work? Was it a work? Or was it real? We'll never know. There's so many stories. But that's for another podcast.
Right, it is.
For conspiracy theories. We'll have to have Jesse Ventura on the next podcast. See what he can say. So, no.
Well, you know, when we're talking about KO and Shane, the one really thing that disappointed me in Extreme Rules was the match they'd announced for Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
And it lasted all of 17 seconds.
Yep, one stunner.
I'm sorry. I hated it too. And a lot of people did. Because you have got two of the best performers in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And you give them 17 seconds?
Yep.
That could have, I mean, on SmackDown, they put on a great match. And then,
yes, you know,
17 seconds. I understand why they did it. I can understand that because it's kind of the character development and getting ready for SummerSlam. But 17 seconds, that was way too short.
Okay, you're building up Kevin Owens, which we thought Kevin Owens basically was rode off into the sunset. We weren't going to see him anymore. And all of a sudden, now you decide, well, you know what? We can use him. He seems like an outstanding person. Let's put you in a thing like Stone Cold. Okay, that's great. He's good on the mic. But when you give him a match for 17 seconds, I'm surprised that Kevin agreed to it. Okay, 17 seconds. One stunner. It's over.
Yeah.
And you know Austin's having a blast watching someone else do that stunner.
Yeah, I bet they talked to Steve about that.
Oh, they did. Yeah. I mean, he had to have Austin's blessing first before he used it. I mean, in the Austin podcast, Austin said, look, I don't care what you do as long as you do it correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good. I like it, but give the man a longer match on a pay-per-view, please.
Yeah, and what they were doing, Chris, to be honest, you think about this, what they were doing is they're setting up SummerSlam with Kevin and Shane, which, okay, that's fine, but why did they drop The Miz all of a sudden? And Shane, it's just, I mean, The Miz still talks about it, but it was just, it's not as prevalent a storyline. And now it might get buried again. Maybe they're planning on having The Miz come out and do something to help Kevin beat Shane or something like that. And setting up a match down the road for the best of the world between Shane and The Miz, which would be fine with me. But, you know, we don't know what's in the inner workings. All I know, 17 seconds, way too short for those two great performers.
Miz is being put on the back burner. A rumor is going around that they're going to rebrand him or redesign The Miz.
Uh-huh.
How are they going to do that?
I don't know.
How are they going to redesign? How are they going to redesign? What, is he going to shave his head and make him a German?
Are they going... No, that was Fritz von Erich. So,
yes.
So what are they going to do? Flip him heel again? That could happen. He's a great heel.
He's a great heel. I mean, he's great on the mic, but I just don't see how they're going to, you know, re-bring him in. I mean, he's already a known, you know, champion. So I don't know how they're going to do it. Leave him like he is, but you all just let that storyline opened up now.
Well, we've got the club is back together again, and I like it.
Oh, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Finally, they're doing something with AJ, and they're finally doing something with these two, the tag team. I can't.
Gallows, you know, and Anderson, the Good Brothers.
Yeah, the Good Brothers. That's what I was going to call them, but I thought I was calling them the wrong thing. What's the name of the, is it going to be the club?
Yeah, that's what they're calling it, the club, I think. The Reformation of the club, yeah.
They're just going to call it the club?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not bad because, I mean, the Bullet Club in New Japan has died, basically. And it's not like, it doesn't have the same oomph that it did before.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I liked it. And now we have a new United States champion in AJ Styles.
AJ.
That didn't take long.
I just remember when AJ was in TNA. Now, this was before the Impact, TNA days. And that was when Ric Flair was working with them. And they had Rick mentor him, you know, storyline mentoring him.
Mm-hmm.
And how I thought AJ Styles can't be a heel. And dadgum, he isn't a great heel. He is a fantastic heel.
He's a perfect heel.
He's got that little swagger and that little snarl in his voice. And I like it, yeah.
I like him as a heel. He's good. I mean, AJ is a ring general. The man is, he's proven himself inside the ring, outside the ring. He's good. But the only thing that I don't care for with AJ is he's that high flying. Sometimes when I look at it, I went, I don't know about that. One of these days you're going to miss and you ain't going to be able to walk anymore. But he is phenomenal. No pun intended. He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He is the phenomenal one. So
yes,
I like it. I just wish they wouldn't have given him the title. They should have kept it. They should have let, who was it that had it?
Before Ricochet was Samoa Joe.
Okay. Yeah. So Ricochet should have kept the title.
Yeah.
Ricochet should have had it.
Probably one more pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Till SummerSlam. Yeah. That would have been good. So I was going to say there was internet rumors today that the WWE is thinking about adding somebody to the club. Now, Originally your thought would go Finn Balor because of what happened over in Japan. But Finn evidently is going to be taking some time off for personal issues and to heal up from some injuries he has.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've read that, too, and he needs to. Finn's been going days in, days out, night, town in, town out. So it's time for him to be put on the shelf and Monday prove it to us. I think that's what is going to happen. But, Finn Balor needs to go bye-bye for a little while. How can I miss you if you don't go away?